starting to wonder if we were going to be doing this standing up the whole time. But I'm glad that he allowed us graciously to sit again. Thank you all for being here again tonight. To our guest, as always, we welcome you. And we thank you for being here with us tonight. We hope and pray that you are willing to share your contact information with us. We most likely would be willing to share ours. As you've heard, this is not our permanent location, but the owners of this establishment have been gracious enough to allow us to meet here, to which I do want to publicly thank them and say thank you to them for allowing us to be here tonight and for granting us this opportunity to be able to assemble with the intent of glorifying our God. Once more, brethren, thank you for being here tonight. If you will, please open your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel account of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. The Bible reads, "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?' But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little.' One of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two small fish, but what are they among so many?' Then Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" Please bow with me in prayer. Our precious and heavenly God, may thy name be glorified by the lips of thy precious saints throughout the land. Father, we kneel before thee and we bow our heads, Lord, in reverence and joy, knowing, Father, that thou art our God, and because of the precious blood of thy Son, those of us who are obedient are thy children. Father, it is our aim and it is our goal to be thy beloved children, being imitators of thee, Lord, and being imitators of our Savior, thy Son, to be able to walk in love as he walked, Father, and to walk, Father, in light as you, we know, are light. Father, as we continue to understand, Father, thy word about thy authority, Father, please allow us to put on hold our thoughts and that we may focus and concentrate on thy word, that our mental capacity, Father, may be able to process thy word diligently, and that we, Father, may be, Father, those types that seek, Father, through thy word to confirm if thy servant indeed comes from thee or not. Thank you once more for the honor, Lord, to be able to learn more about thee. And thank you, Father, for those brethren, Father, those brothers who are ready, Father, to serve during this worship service tonight. And bless those who are here tonight, Father, so that we all, Father, may continue to stir each other up in good works and love. For we know, Lord, this is thy will and not our own. We thank you, Father, once more for thy love. We pray this with the asking also the forgiveness of our sins. And we do so not because we are worthy, but we do it in the glorious and precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of our lesson tonight is Delegated Authority. Again, we have been making it our goal to understand what the authority of God is, how it works, and why it's necessary in our world, and more importantly, in our lives. This morning, we were able to understand that the source of all authority is God. He is the ultimate authority. everything from the governments of this land to our own elderships that have been placed over these churches. We see that every one of them God has placed there because it is His will and His desire for it to be so. We were able to see through the evidence of nature itself how God, from the beginning of creation, was the one who not only created it, but He also determined it for the function that it still does today in our world. Thus, when we see that God is indeed the ultimate authority, as we saw this morning, this then brings to our mind that we must remove the confusion of thinking that our body and our opinions are an authority that supersede God. That what the governments of this world may want us to do, if it goes against the will of God, it will not supersede the authority of God. Our own family and our own friendships, the pressure of Satan through his influence must not and will not supersede the authority of God. And therefore, what we did this morning leads to our theme this night. Because we just read in chapter 6 of John an example of how God's authority is delegated through his servants. When we talk about delegated authority, we must first and foremost understand that someone who God has chosen has been entrusted and power and commandments have been given to them with the ability to exercise them with His blessing, if you will. If you will, go to once more chapter 6 here in John, and in verse 11, notice how we find an example or an illustration, a figurative way of seeing the delegation of God's power. Notice in verse 11 it reads, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted." If you pay close attention to this passage, if you pay close attention to the order in which John gives us these things, well, the same John gives us something similar in the book of Revelation. And if you will, go with me there to chapter 1, the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Notice how there the same John who was inspired by the Holy Spirit gives us a similar order of things with a different type of bread, if you will. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must surely take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things he saw." Now, notice how both John chapter 6, verse 11, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it begins with God giving to Jesus. There's the delegation of power. There we see that God is giving a certain amount of authority to his own son. In John chapter 6, verse 11, we see that God is authorizing Jesus to use his power miraculously. We know this because what Jesus does before he distributes among his disciples the bread is he turns to heaven, and the Bible says that he gave thanks to God. Notice how Jesus, there, brethren, submits to the will of his Father. He acknowledges that the power comes from someone higher than him. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 should immediately come to our mind. We see how in there, God establishes how this delegated authority works. Notice that there, if you are reading it, and of course I'm simply paraphrasing it, it begins by showing how the husband is the head of the wife. Then the Bible says that the husband is under Christ, for Christ is the head of man. But observe, but God is the head of Christ. Now, we, of course, understand this to be so because it does not minimize, nor does it say or refer to the fact that Jesus is a, quote, lesser God, as some of these false teachers are saying. That is not what 1 Corinthians 11, 3 is determining, nor is it what is establishing. But rather, as Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5 and going into verse 7 teaches us, it is showing that Christ although God and although Almighty, all-knowing, and ever-present, he humbled himself. He voluntarily chose to submit to the will of God. Therefore, because this is the case, there in John chapter 6, we see how delegated authority works. Jesus did not perform miracles simply because he desired to do so. But instead, we see that when Jesus used his power to perform signs, wonders, and miracles in the world, it was always within the parameters and it was always within the boundaries that his superior, his authority, had authorized him to. Now, did you catch that, friend? Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who is the Son of God, submitted to the will of the Father. Even when he performed miracles, he did not use his own power. Now, does this mean that Jesus has no power? No, it does not. He has power. But the point is that Jesus, following what his superior in command had authorized him to, even in that, was not using his own power, because it was the will of the Father that Jesus used the same power that the Christians in the first century would be using. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we think about delegated authority, brethren, as we see here in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then we compare it with John chapter 6, verse 11, we see that delegated authority sets boundaries. It is only a limited amount of power that we are given. And for this reason, we must understand that we are only allowed to wield what we have been granted to wield. We cannot go beyond what God has established for us, nor can we go shorter or less than what God has determined from us. Go with me now to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And this is interesting because I had thought about this after the lesson that our brother Kevin gave to us on Wednesday night. And it came to my mind because I had not thought about it before. Our brother, if you remember, for those of you who perhaps were not here, our brother brought to our attention that what we have in this world is the right to be a steward of what God has granted us. Well, once again, that is the use of authority that has been delegated to us. And notice how in Matthew chapter 25, just verse 14 and 15, we see there how this is so. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, three things I want you to pay attention to verse 14. Number one, the man who is traveling, he is the one that is compared like the kingdom of heaven. He is, if you will, the owner of this kingdom. He is the one who is in power and is the ultimate authority. But because he has to travel, notice what he does. Number two, he says he called his own servants. He did not delegate his power to strangers. He did not delegate, nor did he give his power to people who were not in service of him. He did not hire other servants that did not belong to him. We see the word own there, meaning that these were servants that very likely had either been born in his household or they had been there for a long period of time and had earned his trust. But Jesus, brethren, did not receive an authority that did not belong to him. He was in the service of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. And notice then, number three, and delivered his goods to them. Now, why did I want us to read verse 15? And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Observe the distribution of the talents. And once more, we're using this as an example of understanding delegated authority. Notice that a wise leader, although he is under the service of a superior commander, if that leader is granted the right to distribute amongst subjects that are lesser than him, a wise leader knows how to delegate his own power wisely. He knows how to distribute his own power wisely. Go back to John chapter 6 very quickly. You go back up once more, verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Notice how even though Jesus had received power from the Father, he understood what he had been granted. And he understood that he had been given permission by his Father to use those that were under him. But notice that Jesus was preparing Philip and his disciples so that they would be well trained in how to use responsibly and correctly what he was about to give them. He knew his servants. To one he gave five, to one he gave two, and to another he gave one. He did not give them the same amount. He did not give them the same burden. He did not give them the same task or responsibility. But rather, as the Bible told us in Matthew 25, he distributed according to their own ability. As a way of a parenthetical statement, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice an example of what this is referring to. Ephesians chapter 4, and observe what the Bible tells us there. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts." Now, notice, who is receiving? Us, says the Apostle Paul. Who is the one giving? It is Christ. How is he giving? According to the measure of Christ's gift. It is Christ who determines. But we continue to read. "Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Did you catch that, friends? Notice how Jesus received from his Father the authority. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus declares this, "I have received all authority. I have been given all authority over heaven and earth." It was the Father who gave him this authority. Earlier in the chapter, chapter 17, at the Transfiguration, when Peter wants to make three tabernacles, it is the Father who from heaven responds to Peter, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Notice the delegation of authority. Hear him. He's my representative. He's my chosen one. To him I've entrusted my goods. And he's going to distribute to you as he sees fit within what I have already established as the boundaries of his authority. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, reading at verse 7 and going into verse 11, we are seeing Christ do just that, aren't we? We see how Christ first fulfilled his will to the key. He ascended on high, says the Bible. He led captivity captive, and it was after he did this that he was given the permission to give gifts to men. Notice that Jesus didn't do this prior. Observe that Jesus had not yet handed the keys to Peter, the keys to the kingdom until after he had led captivity captive. Do we understand that this is referring to the fact that Jesus defeated death through his death, burial, and resurrection? And it wasn't until the gospel was activated, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he could then give gifts to men. Well, this makes sense because Psalm 68, which is being quoted here, is about a king who conquers. And after conquering another kingdom, shares the spoils of war with his soldiers who went to battle with him. Thus, when we read this, we see then the gifts that Christ gave men. First, he gave us grace. But along with that grace, he gives us responsibility. Notice the responsibility. Once more, verse 11, and he himself gave. It was Christ who gave us these talents. It is Christ who gave us these tasks, and it is Christ who has been authorized by the Father to give us, rather delegate or disperse among us, this authority. And what were those responsibilities? He gave some to be apostles. Now, some, not all. The Bible says that in the book of Acts chapter 1, there were about 120 gathered in the upper room. But of those 120, only 12 were endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues for the very first time. There were 120 disciples of Christ there. But not all were chosen to be apostles. Not all were chosen to be witnesses on behalf of Christ. In fact, proof of this is in chapter 1 when Matthias is chosen. Matthias and another man by the name of Joseph both were chosen, but only one did the Holy Spirit authorize to step into the role that Judas Iscariot had left void. Not all were granted the task of apostleship. The same is true when he says some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. When we read back in John chapter 6, there were about 5,000 gathered, but Jesus chose his own 12 to be the ones to distribute among the people the bread and the fish. Notice how first Jesus recognizes his authority above him, but then notice how Jesus distributes his own power to those that God has authorized for him to do so. He didn't bring all 5,000 people. He did not ask for additional help, but rather these 12 men that Jesus hand-selected were the 12 men that were able to feed 5,000 people. Do we understand the duality of what John is showing there? Have we paid attention to what John is showing us there? How he there is giving a preview of how the gospel was going to work? Do we see how this is the case? Because further on in chapter 6 and then in verse chapter 7, it is where Jesus declares to these same people that he is the bread of heaven, that he is the manna that his Father sent. And there in chapter 6, Jesus tells to these same 5,000 people that lest they eat his flesh and drink his blood, they will not be a part of the kingdom. Well, they didn't like those boundaries. They did not like that there was a condition to receiving this bread from heaven. And they leave. But then Jesus tells the 12, do you want to leave as well? You see, Jesus is under God. His disciples were under Christ. But the one thing that delegated authority requires in order for it to work effectively is free will. Jesus was not obligated to die on the cross. he chose voluntarily to die on the cross. The disciples who then became apostles were not obligated to be witnesses of Christ. They chose to accept this task and to spread the news of salvation. Do you want to go as well? There was always freedom. There was always choice. But Peter was the one who responded on behalf of the 12. To whom shall we go, Lord? Only you have words of eternal life. Delegated authority, brethren, does not give us the power to destroy where God does not allow to destroy, nor build where God does not allow to build. It is a limited authority that is given to us. Jesus voluntarily accepted this role, being beneath God the Father. But then we see then that Jesus is able to distribute according to each one's ability. Some had the ability to be apostles. Some have the ability to be prophets. Some have the ability to be evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But these aren't the only areas that can work within the kingdom, because we all at least have one talent. But that one talent that has been given to us, it is not for us to use as we wish, nor as we so desire. Because with this talent, there is a responsibility and a task that has been tied. And therefore, it is our duty to Christ and ultimately our duty to God, who is the owner of the kingdom, to use it, to distribute it as he has predetermined from what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 this morning. Christ received from the Father. Christ passed on to his apostles, and then his apostles, says the Bible, dispersed among the people to feed them, and to feed them till they were full. But did you notice then the commandment that came afterward? Why he asked them to pick up what was left over, so that nothing will be lost. Jesus not only used this authority within the boundaries that was given it to him, he not only dispersed it among his own servants whom he trusts and whom he gave commandments to, but he uses it responsibly, not squandering it away, not splurging it, because he has an infinite amount of power, because God is power. He was a faithful steward of God's word, wasn't he? He spoke where he had to speak, but he also remained silent when he had to remain silent. You will go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. For those that are diligent students of the Bible, you know what we're about to read, and you know why we're about to read from there. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Beginning there at verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. God had delegated his authority to Samuel. Did you notice what his authority is? His word. And notice what Samuel did with the word of God. He distributed it as necessary. Beginning there at verse 15, Samuel gave Eli God's word exactly as God gave it to him. And this news that he had to give Eli was not good news. It was not a good report that he had to give him. But Samuel gave Eli everything as the Lord gave to him. But the Bible says that Samuel did not allow one word from the word of the Lord to fall to the ground. This means that Samuel upheld and he made sure that every commandment of God be fulfilled exactly as God had commanded it to be. He did not allow God's words to go to waste. He did not allow God's will to be splurged or squandered away. He was faithful, and he was faithful until his death. Jesus commanded his disciples not only to distribute among the people. Now that everybody's done eating, pick up the leftovers. We're not going to allow God's blessing to go to waste. We're not going to allow what my Father has granted us to rot or to spoil. We're going to pick it up because it can always be of good use to us. Christ received the delegated authority, and therefore he submitted within the boundaries that his Father gave him. Christ distributed among his own servants whom he trusted, and gave them their marching orders. And then after they went and distributed among the people, they were commanded to not allow any one of God's words to go to waste, to be spoiled or to be used foolishly among those who are ungrateful. When we think about that and we understand that, brethren, when we think about it, friend, and we understand it, we then understand why Jesus in chapter 6 does not feed them again. We understand then why Jesus allowed the 5,000 who were following him to leave. He does not hold them back. He does not keep them from going. He does not change, nor does he compromise, just so that he could keep the large masses that were following him. Because by the end of chapter 6, we see that Jesus is left only with his 12. He did not let one of God's words touch the ground, just like the prophet Samuel did not allow God's word to fall on the ground, because Eli had done so. He protected and he guarded zealously the precious word of God. He did not allow God's authority to be abused or to be denied. He protected it, he upheld it, and he used it as he was commanded to do so. We, brethren, as the church, have been delegated the authority of God to go and spread the gospel of salvation to the world. But we too must be careful that we are not letting God's words touch the ground because we become foolishly persistent on someone who only seeks us because they want bread to eat. We have to be careful that our intentions and that what we are doing is not trying what we have learned or come to hear as spiritual bribery. Because if they choose not to listen to the word of God and they refuse to obey God's commandment, then that piece of bread we must pick up and put in the basket and take it with us so that it will not go to spoil. Did you understand that, friend? There comes a time where God tells us, speak no more. Because now you're no longer speaking to a heart that is receptive of my word, but rather now you are arguing with Pharaoh, whose heart is hardened when he hears my word. When Christ sent out the limited commission, one of the commandments he gave his disciples was, if they do not receive you, you are to shake off the dust from your feet. But notice the other thing he told them, and you are to take back your peace and your blessing. Don't leave it there. Don't leave that piece of bread there. Do not allow that bread to be squandered or to be spoiled or to be taken advantage of. Take it with you and give it to someone else who will appreciate it. Someone else who is hungrier and thirstier for righteousness. Because blessed are the hungry and the thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled, says the commandment. Therefore, delegated authority, brethren, we see how we are all ultimately under the will of God. From Jesus, even to the newborn babe, all of us are under God's authority. Therefore, it is His will that we follow. But because God has placed us, and it is His will for us to be under Jesus Christ, we have been given our gifts. We have been given our responsibility and our marching orders to distribute these gifts that He has given us. But we have also been commanded that we must also make sure that we don't squander, that we don't waste, that we do not spoil the blessing that our God has given. That if we see that the piece of bread is being left uneaten, we are then to pick it up, put it in a basket, and take it with us. Because God's authority has been distributed amongst all of us. God gave to His Son. His Son has given the Holy Spirit His instructions. The Holy Spirit has inspired the apostles. The apostles, therefore, have given us the training and the direction that we need. And therefore, now we have been sent to go and spread the good news of salvation. But with that commandment comes, do so responsibly. Do so wisely. Do not waste nor abuse the power that God has given to each one of us. But what about you, my friend? You see, you're powerless. You have not been delegated any power from above, because we began by saying that God only uses His own servants. You are not a servant of God if you have not yet obeyed the gospel in the waters of baptism. You are not a servant of God if you think that even though you spread the gospel and even though you live a morally righteous life, but if you are doing so without His permission, without His authorization, then you are living outside of the law. You are working outside of the boundaries that God has established, and therefore your work is in vain. But that can change tonight. Tonight you can be made one of His servants. Tonight you can become one of His own. And therefore you then can begin to distribute with the authority that Christ has given His church. But while you remain in the state that you are, you do not belong to God, but rather you belong to God's enemy, Satan. And believe it or not, by wielding power that has not been granted to you, you're actually doing and fulfilling His will and not the will of God. Because God first wants you to be a part of His Son's body so that you can then work within the boundaries that He has established. Therefore, if anyone here tonight has not been operating under the commandments or the instructions given to us by God's word, and you are ready to confess your sin and you want to repent of what you have done because you want to begin to follow the entire counsel of God. Or if you, friend, know that you have been operating illegally because you have been working in the spiritual black market, but you want to become legitimized. You want to begin to transfer and disperse God's product legally and within His boundaries. Tonight, you can change that. As we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation.